Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We're your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee.
Yay!
Hi! We're back after another long break. We said a while ago we're going to stop apologizing for that because life, you know. But yeah, we're happy to be back and yeah.
We are also happy to read your comments. We saw 5 new ones on Spotify.
5!
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So let's read them in order. So last one first.
Yeah.
And then...
the oldest one first.
Yeah, oldest one first.
Yeah.
So Yats wrote on season 6, chapter episode 4. I love this podcast, but try to tell the listeners a teaser for the next episode.
It's really nice to have tips like this. We're just not quite sure how we would achieve it without having a TARDIS. Because we never know what's going to happen in the next episodes to come. And Yana also doesn't know because Yana's not seen the following episodes. So,
yes,
good sure. Idea. Bit tricky for us on this one, I'm afraid. But yeah, thanks for the comment.
Yeah. Then we have one from Horst on season 5, episode 5. I love Yan Song.
Yay!
And 3 hearts. Thank you for that. And we will tell Jan the comment.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to be very happy.
Yeah. And then another one from Horst on the last episode, season 6, episode 5.
And it says, Dear Yana and Kaylee, I've been your fan since the beginning. I really enjoy listening to your tangents and thoughts and love your music on the podcast. The sound quality of this episode didn't bother me. Ah, that was the last one. Where we were having issues. So either it wasn't that bad to begin with, or Kaylee did some magic in the editing. Thank you.
And yes, she did.
Well done either way. I hope you find a new project after this one, because I would really miss listening to your thoughts. Lots of love to both of you. Love, heart. And PS, everyone watch Arcane. It's amazing.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. Thanks, yeah. Horst. What a lovely message. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And I'm glad that the sound quality didn't bother you and that my magic worked.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of teaser, because Kaylee found some ideas for a next project.
Yeah.
It's going back with a TARDIS, a time machine, to the 90s.
Little teaser there for Yads.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the bud of an idea.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have a comment from Lara, also on the same episode. I'm finally catching up with the episodes I missed in the last few weeks. I'm not yet done with this one, but the previous one was a lot of fun to listen to. I'll leave another comment there as well. Lara, you didn't. Where are you? But I really wanted to advise Yana not to look anything up in the wiki, because that one's always up to date with the newest releases and therefore contains spoilers if you're not yet caught up. Like the information, what exactly Leola's last wish was in season 7 was a spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. Good advice.
Yeah. And nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, true. And this time I didn't look up something else in the wiki.
Just, well done.
I stuck to the ones we are discussing now.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's getting worse, I noticed on the wiki. I'm like, whoa.
I can imagine.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since this season's been out for quite a while now as well.
True, yes. Yeah.
So our most recent comment is from Winkle Murphy. Are you still making these? I'm new. Sorry. No need to be sorry, Winkle. Yeah. Yes, we are still making these. And we're hopefully going to continue from now on and try and catch you up on what's going on. Yeah. So lovely to hear from new people and other people who've already commented before. It always makes us happy, as
yes,
you know.
Totally. Yes, yes.
And if you send us a comment, we will try our best to read it out loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you as always.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then let's start talking about today's chapters and the synopsis.
Awesome. So today we're talking about Book 7, Dark, Chapter 1, Death Alive, and Chapter 2, True Heart. And as usual, I will read the synopses and then we'll get into it. So, Chapter 1, Death Alive. Atop the starscraper, Cosmo receives an ominous prophecy about the fate of Zadia, and Astrid makes a stand. In the Valley of the Graves, Aravos is hatching a new plot, manipulating Claudia in her time of grief. Callum, meanwhile, arrives in Catullus to find the castle destroyed. And Chapter 2, True Heart. Tensions rise at the Bantha Lodge as Ezrin decides how to rebuild and what to do about Runan. Appeals from Callum can't stay Ezrin's rage, and Rayla plans an escape. Meanwhile, Claudia, Aravos, and Terry search for a hidden map in the eccentric puzzle house. Yeah.
And I find it really interesting that the book is called Dark. I was a little bit surprised when I watched this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Not sure as to whether there was another primal source.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I suspected this in one of the earlier episodes. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, but now we know.
Yeah. It's dark.
It is dark. It confused me a little bit because I rewatched Dark recently. And I was like, Dark? This isn't Dark. Wrong season. Took me a minute. So let's get into Chapter 1, Death Alive. And it's a bit of a different order this time because we like have a scene before the intro.
Yes.
With Astrid and Cosmo, and Cosmo's reciting this poem, and Astrid's like, "What does the poem mean? Death alive and fallen one brings eternal night." And Cosmo says, because Astrid thought that he was dreaming, and he says, "It's not a dream. It's what's to be." And that the fallen one has returned, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy stuff.
Then I wondered, who is they? You know, who should know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, everyone except for Eros and Claudia and Terry.
Yeah, and only the Star Touch. Only Cosmo knows.
Yeah, true.
No one else knows.
Yeah.
Do
you know the poem?
No.
Like, is it from a something else?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay.
It's from the series.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to read the poem that Cosmo says at the beginning of the episode. Death alive, in darkness thrives. They wither and writhe in sun's true light. But the fallen one brings eternal night.
Yeah. Okay. Really dark.
Dark stuff.
Fitting to the book.
Very fitting. Yeah. And so we've got some drapes made out of these
spider webs. Yeah.
He was like touching them. I don't know if he like kind of got the visions through the fabric or like, who knows.
I think he has it all the time.
Yeah. All right. So we had that moment. And then we have Aravos talking to Claudia and Terry already.
Yeah.
Oh. And kind of saying, aha, no one knows, and they will fall hard. Yeah. Did you want to say anything else about that?
It was different order. And then we have the intro.
Yeah.
And then the intro also changed because Claudia doesn't turn to stone. Instead, she's lifted up by arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, So I looked back at the old intros and kind of compared them. And she's doing the same pose that Viren's doing in season four and five intro.
Mm-hmm.
Like with her hand up, and it's the same hand and stuff that she's lifting. But then not turning to stone and actually stepping willingly onto Viren's Aravos's hand.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to say, it's not in the prison anymore, which makes sense. And it's at the lake, at the Valley of the Graves.
Yeah, true.
The background, which has also changed.
True.
And I checked it out a little bit because Aravos smiles at Claudia then as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly the same smile in all of the other ones as well.
Ah, okay, okay.
So it's not that he's extra happy because she's willingly taking part now or something. Yeah, so just to give some background.
But was it not the same pose she did when she was turned to stone?
No.
Okay.
No, when she was turned to stone, she was like leaning on her staff.
Ah.
And kind of looked kind of in pain or something.
Okay, true. Yeah,
So it was very different.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And she has her necklace on as well,
mm-hmm.
in this one, the red necklace,
yeah.
Which I didn't check. But I don't think she had it in the
I can't the remember. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So let's start at the Silver Grove. Ithari's hammering a sword. He dunks it in water. What's that called? It has a term for when, like, you're making a sword and then you put a really hot sword in cold water. I know it, like, galvanizes the metal, but I think there's, like, a word for it.
Doesn't galvanizing?
I just wanted to sound fancy. Okay, so he dunks it in the water, I would say. And then there's like a new elf coming in who we don't know, and says that there's something you should see. And then we see Runan's lotus,
mm-hmm.
and it's floating.
Yeah.
But Athari's like, can't be.
Yeah.
It can't possibly be. I have a note here because, we have a new elf and she has interesting little circle tattoos on her eyes or markings. And I recently listened to our first ever episode again of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
with Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And a question that we asked in the episode was, are they tattoos,
mm-hmm.
or is it just makeup?
Yeah.
And we never answered it. We just like theorized about it.
Yeah.
So I actually looked it up this time,
mm-hmm.
and they are like henna tattoos, tattoos. So they're not actual tattoos, but they last longer than makeup.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they're kind of like henna war paint or something like that. So they're not born with these markings, and they're not tattoos.
But do they have to renew them from time to time?
Seemingly, yeah.
Also, Rayla.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And in previous like. You know, these credit pictures and stuff. Her markings are different when she's like a kid and stuff like that. And it seems to be like,
interesting.
That they also, you change the markings that you put on yourself as you get older and kind of go through stuff. And
cool.
And there's lots more. There was like a big rabbit hole. I didn't go into all the details, but that's the most important information.
Also interesting because we later see a change in Averroes.
Yeah.
And he still has the same tattoo, even the skin color changes.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, with these kind of drops under his eyes exactly. and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And interesting to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool concept.
But it's different because, like, I'm just talking about Moonshadow elves. For the other elves, I don't know. Maybe we can do more research on that for the next episode.
Rabbit
if I remember.
Yeah.
So just some information there.
It also, the lotus brightened up, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't remember how it was before.
Yeah, it was dimmer before. Yeah.
And then I also wondered, can the enchantment actually weaken? You know, is it even possible or is it just Ithari not believing in his own abilities?
Yeah, it's strange because you would think, because he's a mage, that he would kind of know how long these spells can last and know that it's not because of that. But maybe he's just so heartbroken and doesn't want to hope.
It could be.
That
could
he's be. Like, oh, yes. It must be just the spell. Yeah, and the last time we saw that lotus flower in the water, you could see it was like half between, like it wasn't sunk. It was floating in between the bottom and the top and the middle. Yeah.
In between.
In between. Aha. Yeah.
There we go. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
That was it?
That was it for that. And we have the new elf introduction.
Yeah.
Don't know who don't she
know
is.
Don't know her name. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the Moon Nexus, Fifi flies by. We've got Lujane, Runan, who's still topless, by the way, and Rayla. And Runan just wants to go back to the Silver Grove, but he's too weak. And Alan comes and picks him up and just puts him back in the bed. Good old Alan.
And there's also a famous quote, an elf needs his rest. It's a reference to Avatar. Yay. Again, because a human also needs his rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a quote from Uncle Iroh to Zuko, and the exact quote is, a man needs his rest.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, nice. Always nice.
Yeah.
Love the Avatar quotes.
Of course.
Callum is pacing, and Rayla tells him to go to Catullus, because at the end of the last episode, he saw, like, the smoke, and that was, like...
No.
He's still worried about that. Yeah, but he doesn't want them to be apart, and she tells him that that he's stuck with her, and that they'll come to Catullus before they go to the Silver Grove.
They're stuck like two adorables.
Yeah.
On a...
cold winter day or something.
Yeah.
I have it in the jelly tarts.
Yes, that's a good promise, I think.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, and then we've got Manus Pluma Volantis. And off he goes.
And then, Callum flies to Catullus and has the promise of Rayla in his mind.
Mm-hmm. And then Runan doesn't want to wait a minute longer and is not even willing to wait for Lujane to enchant his grubs.
Yeah.
And he just eats them. He's so stubborn.
I cannot wait 1 minute longer.
Yeah, and I love it. Like the zoom in the face is 1 minute longer. It's very, very
And also funny. One grub is landing on the floor and crawling away. It's really hilarious.
Yeah. A good scene. And then Rayla says that they have to stop at Catullus. And Runan's all like, but I made promises to Ithari and la la la. And she's like, well, I made promises to my human love.
No, he said he made a promise to the elf he loves.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, I made a promise to the human I love. And that he's like, okay.
Okay.
Damn it.
Fine. You got me. Then we move over to Aravos and Terry and Claudia.
Aravos, huge as he is playing with two staffs at once.
Yeah.
It's children toys for him.
Yeah, and he's like sitting all kind of chilled.
Yeah, true.
As well.
On the lake.
Yeah.
And not on the lake, on the beach.
On the beach, by the lake. Yeah. And Terry's like, okay.
Bye.
Bye. You're all good now. See ya. And Claudia's just like not getting the hint from Terry. love Terry as always. You look quite capable now. Aravos is playing with the staffs. And, he's like, I owe you eternal gratitude, Claudia. And while he's talking about it and he's playing with the staffs, he, like, combines them into one.
Yeah.
The sun orb moves over to the relic staff.
Yeah.
So Viren's old staff.
Yeah.
Claudia wants to bring Viren back again.
Again.
but not possible. And it was explained briefly that... because they were able to preserve his body in a nebula chrysalis last time it worked. But this time it's too late. Like, his body's, he's been dead too long.
And they can't bring him back even for 30 days.
Yeah.
But also, why would she do this? Yeah.
To have more time with him, I guess. But... like, if you've got the choice between someone being dead forever or having them for another 30 days.
But also doing horrible stuff to bring him back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we still don't know.
Yeah.
We still don't know exactly what the ingredients were and stuff. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, old Ter Bear also says, you know, he was at peace. Like,
And he changed.
He changed. Like, let him be, you know? Yeah. Like, and they also weren't there when he died, you know? Like, we saw that moment was a real choice for him, you know? He really, it was a good death.
Yeah. True.
It was very noble and stuff. I don't know how he would feel about being brought back after such a thing.
Yeah. Also true, yeah. So Terry tries everything to not resurrect him again.
Yeah.
And also thinks that Claudia should grieve.
Yeah.
But then Eros opens another possibility. He could be, because of great drama from everyone and himself and unfinished business, could be in a state between life and death called the in-between.
The in-between!
So, again...
That's what you were getting at earlier. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like in a coin. And the entrance to the in-between is in the moon nexus. Also interesting to know.
Yeah.
So it's also the same portal maybe to where Runan was.
Yeah, which was also like an in-between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rayla's parents. So there are ways to create a portal in, but getting lost souls out is a bit trickier. And the way in is by having a moon primal stone, which could take 100 years to find.
Yeah.
Or they just make one. Easy.
Yeah, he's so manipulative. It's like... there's this possibility that I just happen to know about.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's this one that might take 100 years. Yeah. Or there's this opportunity. Like, what is Claudia going to choose? Obviously, let's that one. Make a that primal. Not link. That one. Let's do that one.
They need a map to the land where unicorns once roamed. I wrote it down. It's a new introduction. The Garden of Innocence. So,
yeah,
also interesting. I think there that was also maybe where Leola was playing around.
Where she was playing? Don't know.
Because it also looked like it could contain unicorns.
Maybe. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. And they need a rare ingredient from the Garden of Innocence. Yeah.
And exactly. Then the plan is to get the map. Then get the stuff for the primal stone and then invert the moon nexus. Whatever that means.
I just want to say one thing. That escalated quickly. From Claudia being like, can we bring my dad back?
Ah, true.
And Aravos being like, no.
Yeah.
But, and then it became a whole, like, task. Like a quest. Whole quest. Genau, yeah. And that escalated real quick.
True. Yeah. And then also Claudia, I know where the map is. Ah, it's down there and there. Yeah, totally. Sure. Of course.
I know that map.
Yeah.
Pulls it out of her back pocket.
Yeah.
I always had it on me just in case. Yeah.
But why is it empty? Spoiler.
Spoiler, yeah. Yeah, and I find it crazy that she doesn't realize that she's being manipulated. Because... you know, she was just asking about Viren, and then it's like, Claudia, red flag when he says, oh, let's invert the whole moon nexus, you know? Not, oh, let's get Viren back.
Yeah.
It's like, Claudia, there might be more stuff going on here.
Yeah,
like,
true.
He's not just doing you a favor out of his gratitude for being saved. No.
Yeah.
That's Aravos. That's his thing. Yeah, and then they get into kind of the details, and traveling as a giant is risky. And Aravos tells us that the only risk to his mortal vessel is an archdragon's bite.
Also super interesting.
Very interesting factor.
Yes.
And Aravos just decides to hang out in the lake as an island.
Of course.
As you do.
Yeah.
You
don't?
Very inconspicuous. And chooses his avatar to walk through.
Yeah.
And swaps through various poses, which I will leave for the jelly tarts.
It's great. Yes.
Very good. And but Terry is not impressed.
Yeah.
Terry's just like, oh my god. Yeah. The island reminds me a bit of the lion turtle islands from, again, from Avatar.
Yeah. Or Moana.
Yeah.
Also an island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living islands, people.
Yeah.
It's a thing. all right.
This is mind blowing, really. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it with the Valley of the Graves.
Yeah. So let's move to Ker Tullis. Callum flies over the destruction. He has Sneasels in his scarf, and he lands and picks up a damaged dragon teddy and says, "How can this be?" And he starts crying. Sauron appears and kneels down with him and is just apologizing for what happened, and that he couldn't do anything. And Callum's like kind of asking what happened and stuff, but like, yeah, at that moment it feels like the what happened is not so important as the grieving.
Yeah.
They kind of go straight into the grieving moment.
But is he also asking himself whether everyone is dead?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's also, yeah, I would also have wished from Sauron that he's like, look, so-and-so is okay, or
yeah,
like, we got the people out or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was none of that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
The whole thing with Rivian was not explained at all.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, Viren sacrificed himself to save everyone.
Maybe this would also give S a hint, you know, that not everything is bad or something.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's like there is definitely dialogue missing between the people, and like realizing what they don't know kind of later and being like,
yeah.
Like a bit of an update would be good.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're grieving, and Ez, Zim, Anya, Corvus, Bait, and the two twin-tailed Inferno-toothed tigers, Aegis and Embertail, arrive. And Sauron finds the throne, singed but fit for a king.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ez is all dark. He's just king of what? King of ashes. Sauron's trying to stay positive. Ez looks at the throne and sees his parents looking lovingly at him, and then decides to go and sit on the throne. He realizes, okay, yeah, this is cool. Thanks, Sauron.
He's a little bit too angry for this scene,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I find Ez's this tangent with Ez's rage and stuff a bit.
It's dark.
I'm not sure. It is dark, which fits to the book, but it's a little bit like, yeah, we know Ez so differently, you know? Like,
totally.
He's gone through a lot, and I don't know. I hope it doesn't last very long, basically.
Also, it was interesting when Callum tried to, or hugged him, and he didn't hug back.
No, he didn't, yeah.
He just stood there.
Yeah. I guess he's still in shock and stuff, yeah? But, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about it.
No.
Yeah, and then Anya asks who's responsible. And it seems like they've been there a while as well. It's like, didn't they talk about it yet? Like, did no one say, like, oh, Sol Regan was here? And that's also, yeah, what I mean as well. There's some missing, like...
communication.
Yeah, and, like, timing. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, and then...
But there we are in this battle...
Yeah.
Before, so maybe it was also, okay, first get over this battle experience and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, but if I just got there after kind of rushing to get there, like I'd want to know immediately.
Yeah, true. Yes.
Like what had happened and stuff. And if Anya's asking, I'm like, does Ez not know yet? Because they were all together. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway, not sure about this kind of the pacing on this is a bit strange, but yeah, it is how it is.
Ez didn't know, right?
And Ez didn't know at this point. So, yeah.
It's because Soren said it was Soren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Anya asked, but like no one knew yet. It's weird. It's weird. Anyway, sorry, we'll let that drop. We'll let that slide. We're getting some information now from Soren that it was a golden terror that rained fire down on the city. And Callum says, oh, it must have been Sol Regum. So Callum also didn't know. How long have they been standing there?
You wanted to drop it.
I did. Sorry, I can't. okay, and yeah, and Ez is just immediately like, we have to find Sol Regum and destroy him. Exterminate.
Exterminate. True.
Yeah. And there's been sightings of him at the Valley of the Graves, so Corvus and Callum go to the Valley of the Graves to find some clues.
He commands to go them to go there.
Does he say, I command you?
No, that, not that, but like, he wants to go in the first place, and then he's like, okay, but you have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
Yes.
Do as I wish. I am king.
Yes.
And Anya is very supportive of Ez through all of this. Yeah.
True.
So then we go to the Valley of the Graves and there's no subtle clues. Corvus was expecting like, where did Sol Regum go? La, la, la.
Like footprints or something?
Yeah. And then we have like Sol Regum's skeleton. Yeah. It's like, okay.
There we go.
Here he came and he never left. And Corvus notices the island.
Yeah.
Because that's not just a subtle clue. That's like a really big thing. Strange. And it doesn't get answered what this island's about. Because Aravos suddenly starts moaning from under the skeleton. Or I don't know where he comes from.
Yeah, under the skeleton.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. In a dark mage outfit.
Yeah.
Also interesting.
Yeah. And he has like a staff and everything.
Yeah.
And Callum's also not like wondering like, oh, you're a mage, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess there's more important things going on.
Yeah, because, you know, there's someone asking for help. Yeah. And then Callum is like, oh, okay, I have to help.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just acting on that. And Aravos says, a wicked dragon ruined our lives, killed my daughter. Very interesting. Like, because he said before that he doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, and you just notice more and more he doesn't lie.
Yeah. It's completely true.
It's completely true.
Yeah. So Regum killed his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, not directly, but by framing her.
It was his fault. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Super interesting. I was like, okay, that must be some weird story he made up. But then I remember, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Shit. It's basically true.
Checks out.
Yeah.
And then there's this with the red apple that you wanted to give to Callum.
Yeah, is this a Snow White reference?
Okay. It must be. I mean, I thought so.
Yeah.
The poisoned apple.
Yes.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
But why would he give it to Callum and then Corvus is standing next to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just like a opportunistic thing. It's like, maybe I can also kill Callum while I'm here. Although, wait, it doesn't really make sense because he wanted to use Callum and possess him and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't poison to kill him. Maybe it was like part of making him as puppet.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah, theories. Super strange.
Just theories.
Or it's just a fan thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's a thing. The poison apple. Huh?
Yeah.
And I looked up the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I didn't realize it was so old. 1937 mm-hmm. came out. Yeah. That's like...
It's one of the oldest movies by Disney.
Yeah. It was like almost 90 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I watched it when I was a kid as well. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. True.
And I watched that scene with the poison apple
mm-hmm.
On YouTube. I'll post the link in the show notes. And... It's super creepy.
Yeah, like, totally.
I wouldn't show it to our kids.
Yeah. <It's> no. Like...
Nightmares for life.
Eh? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And when he's giving Callum the red apple, he uses Callum's name, and Corvus is like, hold on. How do you know his name? We all know his name, the High Mage of Cartolus. Like,
But there's some seconds of silence there. Like, shit, did I just say his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Make an excuse. Of course, everyone knows you because you're the Mage of Cartolus.
Yeah. I love Erebus is like, he just has a cool vibe, though, you know? Like, so he hesitates, but he says it, and it's very convincing.
He even, laughs a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And then Corvus tells him to keep the apple, off he goes, and then he drops it, and then it, like, rots.
Immediately.
Yeah. No one notices. Yeah. It's like, hello.
I thought Corvus notices everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that small detail, apparently. back to Cartolus. They do a quick report. Thank you for the quick information transfer. Sol Regum is dead.
Yeah.
And Ezrin is immediately like, okay, all right. Then let's move to the Bantha Lodge. And then they're like sleeping under this arch.
Mm-hmm.
And Rayla and Runan are arriving while sad original title music plays from the Dragon Prince theme, but mm-hmm. in sad.
Yeah, and also S is sitting awake in his...
On his throne. Yeah. It's
also brooding. Weird.
The brooding king.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Rayla wakes up Callum nicely. And Runan's just having a look around at the destruction.
No, he remembers the fight on the wall.
True.
You know,
where he was stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he was looking at.
Tiny detail, mm-hmm. Stella waves. It's super cute. Hi.
Yeah. Ez sees Runan and is immediately like, you!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All that pent-up anger.
Yeah.
It's your fault. It's all your fault. You killed my father, all that stuff. Arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
There's hesitation, and he's like just more and more angry and asking, why is there any moral confusion here? Yeah.
Why is everyone okay with this?
Why is everyone okay with this? And my thought, my feeling immediately is like, Runan's been punished already. Yeah. Like, he went through hell and back and stuff.
But he doesn't know because nobody told him.
No one told him yet. Yeah. Exactly.
Communication.
It's like, just sit Ezrin down, explain what went down for Runan and like the what Rayla went through to bring him back to life and stuff as well. It's like, okay, communication. Communication, people.
You have to work on your communication skills.
Yeah, talk to each other.
It's basic.
Yes. Big feelings time.
Yeah. And then Runan is like, okay,
you got me.
It was me. Okay, then, let's capture me.
Yeah, shame that they went to Cartolus before mm-hmm. the Silver Grove.
True.
In that case, yeah.
All what right. can you do about it?
Yeah. It's just frustrating. Yeah. It's like one of these tangents that's just like, it's just such a waste of time. But they don't know about Erebus, so... They don't know they're wasting their time.
They don't know.
They don't know. No one knows.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the Starscraper where they do know.
Only them, yeah.
The Fallen One is in this world, and he intends to release the dead into the world of the living. That's more than we knew.
Mm-hmm.
With what Aravos says, like, let's turn the Nexus upside down and whatever. It's a bit ambiguous, but this is like, whoa, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Astrid wants to warn them, because if they know, maybe they can stop it.
Yeah.
And the Elder is just forbidding them.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't do that.
Yeah, they're just watching. And then I wrote down, they are just warriors.
Yep. He believes that the heavens only reveal their secrets because of the sacred promise to never interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his belief.
Yeah.
Astrid never promised. So she's true. Like...
no one asked me.
No one asked me. Like, no one told me. F this chisel.
Yeah. And she wants to make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's met them and stuff. It's not so obscure for her. Like, because she met them and they helped her. Like, they helped the Skywing.
Everyone.
No, not Skywing. What are they called? Anyway. They helped them with the behemoth and stuff.
Celestial,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone knows them. The mage and the warrior, you know? Yeah. I don't know, yeah.
You let them help you, but you won't help them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Astrid sticks to it. Watching isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing something no one ever did before.
Seemingly, yeah.
Yeah. She removes her blindfold and then gets blinded by light, even if it's dawn or dusk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, Cosmo helps her up on her feet because she stumbled when there was so much light coming into her eyes.
Yeah.
And she can see clearly now and wants to go to Catullus. And then we get told by Cosmo that he knows more and he wants to tell her everything he saw.
Yeah, Cosmo.
Wow.
You go.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
Great.
Yeah, thank you, Cosmo. That's exactly what we need. We need information being passed on.
And communication.
To the right people. Information and communication. That's
true.
Our two key words for today, class.
Write this down.
Yeah, so let's move up. Let's say MVP right now.
MVP, Queen Anya for support. Mm-hmm. And Astrid.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go for Cosmo because Astrid wouldn't be able to act if she didn't have the information from Cosmo.
Oh, it's true.
But but like
both of them,
the combination, the
siblings,
the Cosmo siblings, Castrid.
Oh my god! Yes, Castrid.
Astros.
That sounds like a Pokemon.
Better than Castrid.
Hilarious. So we're good with inventing names.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, MVP for the whole story arc, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That combination, for sure.
Totally.
But, yeah, morale MVP I would go is Sorin, but he's always morale MVP. Okay, so credits?
Credits. I have Eros in his dark mage outfit.
We have the singed throne.
We have the relic staff with the sun primer stone.
We have Astrid's blindfold.
The rotten apple.
Snow White vibes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And we have Claudia on Aravos's hand, looking eager. She's kind of like taking a step towards him, even.
Yeah.
All right. And then we've got the jellies.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like two Adora bros cuddling on a cold day.
Mm-hmm. Dad, let's do that. That doesn't take 100 years.
I was afraid you were dead. No way, man. I'd have definitely told you I was dead. No, you wouldn't have. And then we have the poses.
Yeah.
I have Skywing. Feathers are fabulous. Moonshadow. So dark and brooding. Tidebound elves. Nautical panache. Sunfire. Always hot.
Double meaning? Question mark?
Mm-hmm. Earthblood. I know you like Earthblood, Claudia.
Really nice.
He's just so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, with the model show, you know?
Yeah.
Where does this come from?
Yeah. And I think we talked about it a little bit in the last, in our last podcast episode, when he was being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
He had like much more of a sense of humor and stuff, and that kind of like he was that jolly side was coming out then, and that's been missing, and I feel like it's coming back a little bit now he's free, maybe
also with the next episode.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Silliness. Yeah. Love it. I like silly Aravos.
Let's speak about the title.
Yeah.
Death Alive. I have in between, for example, Viren, maybe in this in between, but also in the coins.
Mm-hmm.
Kappa, Rayla's parents, Rulan was there, but not anymore. Who else? I think that's it.
I think you got it, basically. Yeah.
And then Zora Regem also in this in between, maybe. So, because of communication skills and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew. Mm-hmm. And he was also before in this in-between state, before Pharos came and did something.
Because he was just like
almost waiting. Dead. Yeah, in this cave.
Yeah.
And stuff. And the apple also in-between, looking brightly red and rotten.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got also mostly Viren,
mm-hmm.
but also with Runan and stuff. And thinking about the title and over as an overarching theme and stuff, there's a lot of death, but the living are still alive, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's hard with Ezrin. It feels like. Like a bit of him has died or something. I don't know. With this, how dark he's being.
Yeah, when he got captured, and then from then that point on.
Yeah. And then I put it into a search engine, Death Alive, to see if it was like a famous quote, mm-hmm. or something. And it's also the name of a 10-minute documentary about a person going to the Arctic.
Oh, okay. So, interesting.
But it's already like almost 20 years old, the film. So I don't know if it's really like a secret tip or if it's just a coincidence.
Okay.
And just extra things. I looked a little bit for Claudia's necklace. And just on a random Reddit somewhere, there's a fan theory that Claudia will use it to heal the Sunstone.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag redemption arc.
Okay. Cool. Then let's move on to the second chapter, True Heart.
True Heart, chapter 2.
It's still the same intro.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because sometimes it changes after one episode.
Just before we start, the previously on this is Runan's voice, which is Jonathan Holmes. Previously on.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's start with the Bantha Lodge. It starts off with this little bird who we also saw in the last who began the last chapter, or mm-hmm. it flew through the last chapter. It's like blue, red, and yellow. It's cute.
Oh, true. Small details.
But yeah. We've got this kind of repetition of little birds starting episodes. Also, I think in season one, it was also like a thing. Rayla climbed up like a really high cliff, and at the top of the cliff, there was like a bird that she disturbed. And it's like, looked like the same bird, but a different color.
Yeah. Ah, okay, interesting. I didn't notice at all.
Yeah.
She's pacing around angry, and Callum is in between sides. In between, haha.
In between.
But yeah. He's on neither side because it's complicated. And he suggests that Rayla has to be patient, and reminds her of their past together, that they had so much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should get over this, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but she's like, not sure, and goes away.
I just want to point out, they're also talking about this on a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in between.
True.
I find it interesting that they keep going back to the bridge to mm-hmm. talk about it as well. It's like they're true. Trying to build a bridge, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Symbolic.
Yeah.
Then we have some comedy with Sorvus, which I've got in the jelly tarts.
Mm-hmm. And then the punishment of Runan is on the agenda. Wasn't he punished enough by being in this coin for years?
Exactly what I said.
Yeah. And he's a murderer. No, he is an assassin. An assassin is just doing their job, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
But is he then a good murderer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is good, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm. Emotions on every side.
Yeah. And who was he doing the job for?
Yeah, totally.
Zubair.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Gets really weird later on. But this reminded me, or at least I read it in the wiki, of this battle between Aang and Zuko.
Yeah.
Which was the same, you know, Aang blamed Zuko for everything. Mm-hmm. And then when they got through the details,
mm-hmm.
it was clear that Zuko is not to blame for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same scheme.
Yeah. The blaming the wrong person. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And being stuck in this bitterness or angerness for some time.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, Zuko blaming Aang as well, always.
Yeah, totally. It's
the same, but the other way around.
And then we have also this relationship to Esran versus being a high mage, like this job. And then also the relationship to Rayla. Yeah, Callum is in between several sides.
Yeah, he's completely torn. But Ez really pulls the king card when he's true. Like, High Mage,
yes.
We need you in this council meeting,
yes.
You know?
True.
And we get another comedy Sorin moment, mm-hmm. biting the weapons-grade bread,
mm-hmm.
which is a reference to season one with Amaya calling it weapons-grade bread in the Bantha Lodge where they are now. And I've renamed it Breppen.
Broad.
Breppen. It's a Breppen.
You know, broad and sword. Broad.
Broad.
Yeah. Also, I looked it up again. It was in book one, chapter 4. And then I looked through my notes. I searched for bread, and mm-hmm. there are so many bread jokes.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
So, thanks for bringing that back.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Opelli, let's rebuild for the citizens. And Barius says, who by the way is still the Minister of Crusts and Jellies,
mm-hmm.
That people need to feel like we're building a home.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezrin is all about safety. And that they spent generations building Catullus, and it got knocked down in a matter of minutes. And I've just got in my notes, I'm not a fan of Ragey Ez. Like,
no.
Still.
No.
Zim is also concerned when Ez knocks over mm-hmm. a glass mm-hmm. to make his point.
Yeah, totally.
And Callum's distracted. I guess he's just thinking about the whole Rayla situation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Points to barriers.
Yeah. And Anya is asked for her opinion
mm-hmm.
in the council meeting.
Yeah.
She's very good about it. She's like, yeah, I'm not actually officially part of this council meeting, but okay. I'm grateful for your support. Which we know about from the Heart of the Titan, which was season 2, episode 6,
mm-hmm.
where her people were starving. And yeah, we all know that story. And they got the Heart of the Titan to create a big bounty and feed all the people.
Mm.
Yeah. And she lifts the glass that Ez knocked down and hands it back to him. Very symbolic as well. And says that she will support in any way.
Mm-hmm. No.
In any way she can. But she says in a kind of ominous way, peace requires preparation.
Yeah. And then Ez is like, yeah, okay, that's true. Let's build defenses first.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's not what she meant.
Yeah. But... I think it was what she meant.
Yeah.
I think she was of like, yeah.
Okay.
Mm, yeah. And yeah. Ez was immediately like, bolster. Like, yeah. So,
yeah.
That's happening.
Then we have Rayla on the bridge again.
Back on the bridge.
Yes. And as I said before, Callum is between two chairs. But Rayla understands it, is okay with it, because she thinks that he shouldn't betray his brother.
Yeah.
And, only ask for his forgiveness for what she's planning. Yeah, they kiss and it's salty.
And we see their reflection in the water. They kiss and then the leaf lands on their reflection.
Yeah.
And then Callum leaves.
Oh my God. I have in my note what's up with the leaf on the river. But yeah, that explains it. Aha, yes.
Sorry, pun central here.
Yeah. No, true.
Okay, yeah. We've got Stella doing emotional support, which is nice. And then Callum turns around and Rayla's gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Ez is by the fire with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Zim's doing soothing sounds. I'd like to know what their head conversations are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit missing.
And it's cute that the bait is sleeping with the baitlings.
Yeah.
Around him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's cute.
It's nice. Yeah, and Callum storms in and is like, you're a jerk face, Ez. It's like, yeah, you are being a jerk face right now. Runan didn't destroy Cartolis. And yeah, like, makes the point. Does that come later? That it was Zubeya who told him to kill
I think it was in this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, remember all these things and how they're connected.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you wanted to break that cycle. Come on. And then we go down to Runan, who is in the basement, as far as I can tell. And then we get this moment with the material lift.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up a little bit because I remembered it's like called the Dumb Waiter,
mm-hmm.
which is like a really old name.
Yeah.
Like, and I looked it up on as a TV trope because mm-hmm. it is like a thing mm-hmm. that like people mm-hmm. get in these elevators that aren't meant for people, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to read this out for a second. So, a material lift. Something about this small mobile space is irresistible to characters in fiction. Maybe you're a curious youngster exploring an old mansion your family just moved into. Maybe you're escaping from an enemy and there aren't any air ducts nearby. Or maybe you just saw what looked like a tiny elevator and thought, hey, I bet I could fit in that thing. Whatever the reason, you're contributing to the universal law that whenever a dumbwaiter, so a material lift, appears in fiction, no matter its size, someone will take a ride in it.
Totally true. Yes.
As soon as it's there, you're like, okay, something's going on
here. Of course, yes.
Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting point.
And the snack the guards didn't order is Stella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got him now as snack guard, and it's not the same god. This is not the sausage god. They look different, and they have different voices as well. And sausage god, who we know, you know, with the two sausages and the eggs and whatever. The sausage god's voice is Jason Simpson, who's Viren's voice.
Ah, okay, interesting.
And leads me off onto another tangent. Jason Simpson does other voices, also Barius. I'm glad that the voice, the actor's still there, because he's really good. It's nice that he's not just gone because Viren's gone, basically. Yeah.
Also, I thought in one scene that Soren is also voiced by him. Because he sounded a little bit like his father.
Ah, interesting.
And I also looked up Cosmo, because he sounded like one actor in Black Mirror in one of the first seasons. But it's completely, it's someone else.
It's a different person.
Yeah, okay. Completely. Yeah. The one in Black Mirror is British, and the other one is Canadian. And also age difference.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, yeah, I go off on these tangents all the time. I think I drive my wife crazy with it. I'm like, I know this voice, and I can't, like, focus on what we're watching or listening to.
And then after 10 minutes, it's this person.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's totally a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Snack Guard gets knocked over by Stella, who appears in the dumb waiter, the material lift, and his friend, I don't know. I don't have a name for her. Other god. But then they get back up, and it's a different key. The key doesn't work for opening Runan's handcuffs.
But the one on the bottom, they worked.
Yeah. But not for the top, and call her a little troublemaker. And it also reminds me of, like, because of this whole lift situation, it's like Home Alone, you know?
Yeah, true. Yes.
There's definitely a scene of that in there.
Yeah.
You little troublemaker, you little whippersnapper. I don't know.
True.
Yeah, and then Rayla arrives, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
And she helps them and knocks them down and, releases Runan, hooray.
And then they are again stealthing around in the Banta Lodge, like the first time they were there with Amaya.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, interesting reference. And they got out, and because Soren's eyesight is perfect, they get captured.
It's so cute.
Yes.
He's just like cursed with good eyesight.
Yeah. I almost didn't saw you. And he can't look away because he's sworn to Esrin. Here it's with S forgave Subeya.
Ah, that was
who
it.
Who sent Runan, yes.
Yeah.
He should break this cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear Rickety Snickers. And afterwards, Soren loses his sword, but still has the spread.
The Breppin.
The Breppin.
Breppin.
Yes. The broad.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when he gets it out as well, he's like laughing about it as well.
And they're like, what's happening?
Yeah. I've got in my notes, Breppin doesn't do so well. True. Gets cut in half.
Yeah.
And then Corvus uses his chains to protect Soren.
Mm-hmm.
Rayla won't let them have Runan. And Corvus kicks Soren's sword back to him, and they have a standoff. And this is when Esrin arrives with all the guards, and then he has like Zim's wings behind him.
Yeah, that's a really cool entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Callum arrives and does Frigus Pedis.
Yeah, it's called feet in Latin.
Frozen feet.
Yeah.
Cold feet. Yeah, and Callum is like, okay, sorry, I'm leaving with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sneezes.
Oh, yeah.
But then we have Anya, who is a great shot, because it's two arrows at once.
Yeah.
And then hitting Runan on the shoulder.
Grazing. Yeah.
Callum stands in front of them. And, maybe it's almost certain death for him.
Yeah.
You know? as struggles, and then waves his hand, and Anya didn't take another shot.
It's so annoying. It's like, come on, he's not gonna kill his brother.
Yeah.
Like, and if he does, it's a total like brat move.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, no way. Brother face down. And then, can't be your high mage anymore, but I will always be your brother.
Which is a nice gesture from Callum.
From Callum, yeah. Callum's doing well with it. Ez is really not. And Hans Runan.
The knife with the bread.
The sword with the bread on it. Yeah, very good.
And does the spell Turbine Venti? Or Turbine Venti, I don't know.
Turbine.
Wind turbine.
Mm-hmm. And then they have a motorboat. They invented the motorboat.
True, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
I did want to say about this, it's going a little bit ahead, but when they escape from the Bantha Lodge, they're in the cellar,
mm-hmm.
and they go on the roof
mm-hmm.
to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And what's coming up with the puzzle house.
True.
To go up the tower to get into the cellar. So it's an interesting opposite move there. Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. Nothing much more to say about that, I guess. Laura?
Something I just remembered. Stella going onto the boat via portal. Why is that?
I didn't notice that. Interesting.
Yeah. She's like 2 meters away.
And she's just like... Pfft.
Yeah.
That's fun and fast,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay,
the puzzle house. Kapar constructed it. Mm-hmm. And he taught Viren everything he knows or knew about dark magic. And then he just disappeared.
Mysteriously.
Interesting. Yeah. And Erebus says that the house is eccentric. Terry says it's spooky. I like eccentric and spooky. He's still like flirting with Claudia. It's like, okay.
And she's like, oh, you. interesting point. Kapar vanishes mysteriously.
Mysteriously, yeah.
Because he's in a coin.
Mm-hmm. They never saw him in the coin. Yeah. He did end up in a coin.
Or is Everos knowing it? Because he's like, that sounds mysterious, and then smiles.
Yeah. Like, I think Erebus is just like, someone mysteriously disappearing around Viren. Like,
of course.
Yeah. But I don't think he knew.
Okay.
And it seems like Claudia still doesn't know.
Yeah.
Even though the coin was like hanging about in that basement where she was doing all the spells and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, but you have to look on it.
Yeah.
Edit.
Yeah, so they're looking for the magical map, which is in Kampar's secret basement. And to go down, you must go up, which is what we just mentioned. And the tower is interesting. It's got like runes all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia knew just the right brick to press.
Of course.
To bring out steps on it. And I thought they're big fans of inventing things that you need to press bricks for to like make stairs appear. Like, the vault in the castle. It was like this stone, rock, stone thing from season one. And now it's like, another stone to get the steps to come out. Yeah. And I guess if Kapar taught Viren everything he knows, then Viren probably invented the thing in the castle.
Yeah.
Or they made it together or whatever.
Yeah. And then we have Averroes asking Claudia, why hiding the entrance of the to the secret basement lair at the top of an inaccessible tower, and then hiding something in a carousel?
Yeah. Why?
And then, answer to that, why not? Yeah, Kapar is right.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? And then we've got the carousel, and there's a dragon that looks quite like Pyra.
Mm-hmm.
The red dragon.
True.
We've got a shadow paw.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns out that the horn is a key.
And some other figure I couldn't figure out.
Yeah, there's also an Inferno Tooth tiger.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Which is what Claudia ends up riding on.
Okay. True. The unicorn horn is key, yes. And to the...
Yeah, to the slide or the crazy carousel ride.
Down and around they go.
Or trippy carousel ride or whatever. And off they go. And Erebos is laughing and giggling. Oh, it's so good.
I love that they have so much fun.
Yeah.
Especially Erebos. Like, this is the fun Erebos I always wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our bit of Erebos fun time.
Yeah.
We didn't know we needed it, but yeah.
And then on the other point, we have this dark scenes in the other place, you know?
With the heroes.
Yeah, which, exactly. Yeah,
it's like so reversed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fighting each other, you know?
Yeah.
So.
True.
Yeah, dark. Yeah, Eros, so after the whole carousel thing, Eros stumbled to the ground, but is more than okay because he was entrapped in a tiny prison for 300 years.
Yeah.
So, it's the most fun he had in a long time.
Literally the most fun he's had in ages.
Yeah. And we see, stuff relying around in the basement.
Yeah.
Because Kappa changed and tried to destroy all his dark magic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not everything, because Eros found some piece of paper and saw that he was experimenting with the darkest of all dark magic.
Self-eating.
What the fuck is that? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, if you self-eat, then you are immortal? How can that be?
Yeah, really strange. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But it makes sense if they can use, like, animal parts, I guess, that human parts would also do stuff. But, like, putting it in your own body, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're making yourself live longer, but your body's getting smaller and smaller. I don't know. It's horrible.
Yeah.
We can just imagine. Yeah. But he quit, says Terry, and Terry's like, it's never too late to change, with a hand on Claudia's shoulder, like,
hint, hello. Yeah, like Kappa and Viren and maybe Claudia.
Yeah. And then they found the room where Claudia found and kept the map, but it's blank.
No.
Except, seems like Terry can see something.
Yeah.
And he puts on his special glasses. I love Terry when he gets all like mad scientist. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And Erebos uses telepathy to talk to Claudia about it and explains that only a person of true heart can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Terry's like innocent and good and can still see the map. And Claudia is not anymore.
No.
And Erebos neither.
Yeah. So the map is protected by a spell, maybe.
Yeah.
And also Terry shouldn't know that they don't know what's going on on the map.
Yeah, yeah.
And Claudia is like, okay, then, yeah. Terry should carry the map and maybe explain everything because... Yeah. He finds it so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice that you're so excited about it. You can just, you can hold that. So Claudia decides to use Terry now, which is hard to see. And when they're talking about the true heart stuff and saying that, like, childhood innocence gives way to something complicated at some point, and it cuts to Ez being angry and stuff, and it's like, oh yeah, that's definitely what's going on there. But Terry's got a good heart, we know that, and the map is sparkly and beautiful. Yeah.
Do you think S would see the map?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It depends, I think, on these decisions that he's making right now.
Callum wouldn't see it. Because probably he was not infected already?
Because of the dark magic.
No.
Zim would see it.
No. And the animals.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay.
Okay, so credits.
I have Soren with Stay Pratt, with the Preppin. No, the...
the Preppin.
Preppin, yeah.
Rayla bandaging Runan's arm.
A picture of the self-eating Kappa, which reminded me a bit of Da Vinci's picture.
Yeah. Someone big in chains.
Yeah, it's sadly sitting around in a prison. I don't know it yet.
I can tell you about it if you want.
No.
It's not a spoiler.
Yeah. Okay, then.
It's from a comic, one of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a character from the Puzzle House comic.
Ah.
So it's not really a spoiler. Like,
okay.
That character is in there.
I was thinking about it, that it looks like this Kappa Puzzle House.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a giant called Krua.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next one. We've got the unicorn from the carousel.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Esrin and Callum as innocent children fighting with wooden swords.
Yeah. With angry faces. Or at least Callum's face is angry.
Okay.
Jelly tarts.
I think you have the most. Okay, I have this cry for help is not the best thing. It's rickety Snickers.
Yeah.
And then they should know that it's serious.
Mm-hmm. Like, because rickety Snickers sounds so serious.
Yeah, totally.
But it did work.
Yeah, true.
I've got part of me wishes I hadn't seen you, but my eyesight is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it. It's not so funny anymore.
No.
It's too dark.
Okay, the title?
True Heart, Children / Terry, Esrin versus Raylum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I've got that as well. And the overarching theme, coming of age and this kind of thing. And I did a bit of research because, I realised when we talked about Heart of a Titan, that's another episode title with heart in it. And we had Heart of a Titan and we had Hearts of Cinder.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is our third episode title with heart in the title.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
As MVP, I have Terry.
Yeah.
Because he can see the map.
Yeah.
But also maybe Callum for standing in front of Rayla and Runan.
Hmm.
It's a little bit boring, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't do the MVP. But yeah, they're both strong choices.
Yeah.
I want Terry to be MVP, but he's not really doing anything right now. Like, he's trying, but it's not really...
It's not really
fruitful. Getting anywhere.
Yeah, totally. But he goes with the choice Claudia makes, you know?
Yeah.
He's supporting her all the time.
Yeah.
And now, by being the only one who can read the map, so it's, you know, the best way for them to move forward.
Yeah, for their storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Callum because of, protecting them. And protecting Runan, because if Anya had now killed Runan, that would be a whole other can of worms. So we got to the end, and how are you feeling about the new season?
Super interesting. Actually, we wanted to do it like this. We want to watch the first two chapters together and then record some small episode after it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't because of time, and instead I watched it 2 days ago, and I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the time. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's really dark, so yes.
Yeah.
Title fits. Title checks out.
Yeah.
Title name.
Do you have any theories or ideas about what might be coming next?
Yeah, I think the Archdragon Bite is possible. Like Subeya getting resurrected by the mushroom guy.
I
don't remember
still...
his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are always forgetting some storylines.
Yeah.
And I think this will get reintroduced. Because he has to die. So there's no... And then also Astrid and Cosmo doing their stuff.
Yeah, finally telling people what's going on. Communication!
Yeah, so I think in the next two chapters, which I will see now, Astrid is doing some stuff.
Yeah.
Will get interesting. But I don't know exactly, but is this the last season or is it not that there are three more seasons planned or in the workings or something?
So there were more seasons planned, and that's been known for a while. But this was the official end of the original planned series. Yeah, there is more coming, and I saw something which is like Netflix hasn't agreed to more seasons. And I think that they're currently trying to fundraise or find other avenues to continue with another network.
I think this fundraiser thing I saw, and I think they already did it.
Okay.
Like it's already completed.
Okay. So. Yeah, I was trying not to look into it too much because I wanted to get through this season of podcasting with you without kind of getting into that frame of mind what's coming next. But yeah, I'm also trying to keep myself a little bit blind. Like I've seen this season already, but I'm trying to not focus on what's coming, but be in the episodes with you. So, but yeah, it seems like it's happening anyway, the other things are coming. And I think there's more comics and there's more stuff coming out.
Like, also this game.
Yeah, there's a computer game coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're always releasing like new short stories and things like that on the website and also comics that you can buy.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I read Puzzle House today
because
it's quite short. And because of this
prison
character. The character that was it, and I was like, oh, who's that? And then I read it. And yeah, they're quite nice. Like that could also be an offshoot at the end of this season 7. If like it takes a while for more to come out, we could have some short episodes on reading the comics and talking about that content, because there's actually a lot of canon stuff, like official storyline things that aren't going on in the series. That's also interesting to know about.
Yeah. So if you want more behind the scenes,
the scenes content or non-series content.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, you can catch us on. Yeah, we're still on Spotify. That seems to be the only place we get comments. So if you want to send us a comment, you can comment on there. You can also contact us through the website.
Yeah, I think Spotify is also the only place
we look. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if Apple or something has even the ability to make comments. I don't know.
Maybe we can look into it, or somebody could flag us if we're getting messages somewhere else that we don't know about.
And I know that AntennaPod doesn't support it.
No. So if you've been messaging us and you're not getting any feedback, go on the website and find some other channel to get in touch with us. We're always happy to hear from you. It's great to be back, and I hope we can continue again soon. I'll get this edited as soon as I can and get it out there. Because I know some certain people are waiting. I'm sorry. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. So our final comment, our most recent comment, is from Winky Murphy.
Winkle.
Oh, sorry. Winky. Okay, let's try this again.